Welcome to Morning Soap. At Fusion Church, our desire is to see everyone attend church and hear from God daily through His Word. The Bible reveals God's responses to various situations, and through daily devotions, we can reshape our thought patterns, transform our minds, and become more Christ-like. Join us here every Monday through Friday as different pastors and leaders from Fusion Church provide insightful devotions and teachings based on the day's scripture. For the current soap reading plan, visit fusionchurch.cc/soap and join us as we deepen our understanding and relationship with God.
Hey, well, good morning, everyone. We are in Psalm 116 today. As I say, this was a fascinating psalm as I dug into it to kind of see some of the connections that I didn't really know about. But let's do this. Nicole, if you're okay with reading, let's just read Psalm 116 and then we'll pray and jump into this.
Okay, good morning. Psalm 116. I'm reading from the New International Version, the NIV version, starting in verse 1. I love the Lord, for he heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy. Because he turned his ear to me, I will call on him as long as I live. The cords of death entangled me. The anguish of the grave came over me. I was overcome by distress and sorrow. Then I called on the name of the Lord. Lord, save me. The Lord is gracious and righteous. Our God is full of compassion. The Lord protects the unwary. When I was brought low, he saved me. Return to your rest, my soul, for the Lord has been good to you. For you, Lord, have delivered me from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling, that I may walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I trusted in the Lord when I said, I am greatly afflicted. In my alarm, I said, everyone is a liar. What shall I return to the Lord for all his goodness to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his faithful servants. Truly, I am your servant, Lord. I serve you just as my mother did. You have freed me from my chains. I will sacrifice a thank offering to you and call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. In the courts of the house of the Lord, in your midst, Jerusalem, praise the Lord.
Okay, well, thank you, Nicole. So Psalm 116. Okay, so as I was doing a little research on this, I was kind of trying to figure out, are the Psalms chronological? Who wrote them? We know David wrote a lot of them. So the thing about the Psalms, they're not really chronological, but they're organized into five books. So you have Psalms 1 to 41, which were generally written mostly by David. Time frame, early monarchy, early kings. Book 2 or Psalms 42 to 72, general theme, David and the sons of Korah, generally thought to be the United Kingdom period. And then we have Psalm 78 to 89, theme being Asaph and others, time of the exile or crisis. Psalms 90 to 106, general theme, Moses, anonymous, and then exile and return themes. And then Psalm 116, where we are now, is in this, what they call book 5, Psalms 107 to 150, which is called the praise and restoration psalms. So most likely post-exile, and kind of in this time of renewal. So that kind of just helped me know where this place is. So let's look at this, starting at verses 1 and 2. So verse 1 says, I love the Lord, for he heard my voice, he heard my cry. verse 2, because he turned his ear to me, I will call on him as long as I live. So we see the psalmist beginning with love, not obligation. And he loves God. Why? Because God listens, not just once, but continually. Because he turned his ear to me, so we know that God listens, God cares. So our relationship with God is personal, it's responsive, and we need to pray continually but confidently, knowing that he does hear us. Okay, so application question for you. How can you cultivate a more personal and responsive prayer life? So something for you to think about. How can we get into that same kind of relationship that the writer had, that the psalmist had? Okay, verse 3 to 6. If we had to put a heading to this, I would say God delivers us from despair and death. And it says, the cords of death entangled me. The anguish of the grave came over me. I was overcome by stress and sorrow. Okay, and then he goes on to say in verse 4, Lord, save me. And so the writer, may have been facing something life-threatening, maybe physical illness, overwhelming grief, could have been a number of things, right? But in desperation, he finds God to be what? Gracious, righteous, compassionate. That's verse 5. Okay, so God is all those things. So God meets us in our darkest moments and he rescues us, those who humbly cry out, right? So the act of rescue is inseparable from God's character. He saves us in ways that reflects his what? His mercy, his justice, his love. Because we know God is gracious, righteous, and compassionate. So my question is, for each one of us, what do we need to cry out to God for right now? What is that need that we want God to meet? Yeah, and then the second part of my question is, if we consider that God's character is grace, righteousness, compassion, how does that encourage us as we go into our day, as we go into difficult situations? So, as we remember that God is gracious, righteous, and compassionate, we should be encouraged in the different situations we have to face. Okay, let's jump into verses 7 to 9. And again, if we're to give this a title, God gives rest to our souls. It says, return to your rest, my soul, for the Lord has been good to you. Okay. Let me just see something here. So he says, he goes on to verse 9, where he says, and I may walk before the Lord in the land of the living. So, after this, whatever this possible distress is, right, to the psalmist's experiences, this inner peace and restoration, he says that he now walks before the Lord in the land of the living. So, when God saves us, he doesn't just remove the trouble. He restores our peace, right, from the inside. He renews purpose in our lives. So this is something that I think a lot of us struggle with. The question is, how can you practice resting in God's goodness? Okay, so how do we just take time to reflect, take time to drink that in as God restores our inner peace, as he restores us? How do we experience that by resting in God's goodness? How do we take the time just to be with God? Okay, verses 10 and 11. You just scroll over here. I trusted in the Lord when I said, I'm greatly afflicted. In my alarm, I said, everyone is a liar. Okay, so faith continues even in affliction. So even when I'm feeling broken, when I'm feeling disillusioned, the psalmist says, everyone is a liar. What does he do? He holds on to his faith. He holds true, because my faith needs to continue even in affliction. It's my faith that's going to sustain me. It's my faith that's going to hold me through in those tough times. What is faith, right? FAITH, forsaking all, I trust him. Yeah, that's the way I like to remember it. So faith is putting my faith into God, knowing that he knows everything I'm going through, knowing that whatever affliction it is, I can trust God through my pain, through my suffering. Okay. So, application question or question for you to consider. What practical steps can help you trust God even when circumstances are painful? And so, what can I do to kind of step into my faith, to hold fast onto the things that I truly believe? Alrighty, let's move on to verses 12 to 14. Okay, what shall I return to the Lord for all his goodness to me? And the writer says, I will lift up the cup of salvation. And I want to talk a lot about this. So we gave this a heading. Gratitude leads to worship and obedience. Okay, so he says, I will lift up the cup of salvation. So what we're seeing here is a symbol of thanksgiving, a symbol of thanksgiving and celebration. Now, if we go back to ancient Israel, when someone experienced God's deliverance from illness, danger, distress, they would often offer a thanksgiving sacrifice, right? So Leviticus 7, 11 to 15, we can see that. And then during the meal that followed, the worshiper might raise up a cup of wine as a toast or act of gratitude to God. It was a public way of saying, the Lord has saved me and I thank him. So the cup of salvation is a gesture and a gratitude for deliverance. So I've been delivered by you, so I'm going to offer up this cup of thanksgiving. Okay. Now, it's also a personal declaration of God's saving work, right? So the psalmist isn't only performing a ritual here, he's declaring something that's deeply personal to him, right? So there's testimony here. He's telling others what God has done, and each one of us has a testimony, right? We have a story. And if you were in service yesterday, October 12th, Pastor Ernest preached a fire message about salvation, right? How do we bring and invite others into that, into our story, right? Into our testimony, so they can experience the same thing that we have done through God's act of salvation for us. Okay, so testimony, telling others what God has done. And then the second thing we see here is devotion, right? So we have this heart of worship, this commitment to be devoted to God. The third thing we see here from the psalmist is this renewing of his faith, right? Trusting God for future salvation. Now, we are in the Psalms, but again, there is this foreshadowing of Christ's salvation. This is connecting to what Jesus would do in the New Testament. So in the New Testament, the cup becomes a symbol, right? It's a symbol of the cup of suffering that Jesus takes on himself. So Luke 22, 42. And then the cup of salvation he offers us through his blood, Luke 22, verse 20, right? So As I think about this, and I think about the challenge in the sermon yesterday, is who is the person or people that I want to experience that same salvation that Jesus has given me, right? Through God's gift of his son. So maybe today, if you weren't in the sermon yesterday, if you weren't at church, take a moment and write down a name. Open your phone, write it in your notes app, and take time to pray for that person. Take time to ask God for courage and faith to go, Lord, as I've experienced your cup of salvation, I would like that same thing for X, Y, and Z, right? So how do we take the time to actually ask God to really push us into that desire to want to see other people to experience his salvation? Okay, so cup of salvation, and we'll come back to that a little bit. Verse 15, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his faithful servants. Now, God treasures the lives of his people, right? So God does not take lightly the suffering of his people or the death of his people. God values every life, and he receives his servants with care. So our deaths matter deeply to God, right? So we matter. We are his precious creations. So here's my question for you around that is, how does knowing that God treasures your life affect the way you live today for him? All right, if God treasures us, how is that going to impact how you live your life today? Is it going to affect anyone else? Are you going to live for yourself only, or is your life going to have impact on somebody else today? Which kind of brings us into this next thought in verses 16 to 19, where he says, truly I am your servant. You have freed me from my chains in verse 16. And so our lives of service, right, becomes our thanks offering to God. So the psalmist sees himself not as a slave under burden, under obligation, but as a freed servant, as one who gladly serves out of love. And the question I have to ask myself is, am I also living a life of gratitude as someone who has been set free, serving out of love and not out of obligation? The psalmist, his worship is public, it's joyful, it's with God's people. And so I think what we can learn from these verses is that we need to have gratitude for the redemption that God has given us, and that there needs to be a lifelong service of serving God and being a witness, a joyful witness, and not someone who's a doom and gloom kind of witness, but someone who really has the joy of the Lord and lives that out in everyday life. So, application question, how can you live out your gratitude through service to God and others? So, here at Fusion Church, obviously there are many, many ways you can serve. There's many ways you can show your gratitude. I'm looking on the chat. I see Deb's in there. We have so many things going on, right? We have these suppers we do for people. We have outreaches of all kinds, right? So, and I'm going to give you Deb's words here. Gratitude is a lifestyle and not a moment of thanks, right? So, how can you live out your life and that lifestyle through the things you do? So, what are the choices you're going to make? Okay, so I want to look at Psalm 116 in a slightly different context. So now, as we mentioned before, Psalm 116 falls into this collection of Psalms of Praise and Restoration, which was in the post-exile era. Let me just get back to where I was. Okay, so Psalm 116, so actually Psalms 113 to 118 are part of what they call the Egyptian Hallel. Now, Hallel comes from the Hebrew root word, and I might say this incorrectly, but halal, meaning to praise. And these psalms were sung during Passover to remember God's deliverance from slavery in Egypt. So, give you a little history here. So, Psalms 113 and 114 were usually early in the Seder celebration, which was praise for God's power and deliverance from Egypt. And then after the meal, they would do Psalms 115 to 118, including 116. So after eating the lamb and drinking the cups of wine, it was thanksgiving for salvation and renewed hope in God's faithfulness. So Psalm 116 is one of the post-meal psalms in the Passover celebration or in the Seder, which is a song of gratitude, remembering how God had redeemed them and brought them out of Egypt. So what does Psalm 116 mean in that Passover setting? So here we go. Okay, we're thanking God for deliverance from death, right? Egypt's final plague and the Red Sea rescue, right? We're th thanking God for continued mercy and compassion, celebrating life as God's redeemed people. And then coming back to that line, I will lift up the cup of salvation, really connects beautifully with the Passover cup of wine, which symbolizing the joy and thanksgiving for freedom. Okay, so let's take all of that and see how does it connect to Jesus and the Last Supper. So at the Last Supper, what did Jesus do? Well, he celebrated Passover with his disciples. Matthew 26:30 and Mark 14:26 tell us when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. That hymn was most likely the Hallel Psalms 113 to 118, including 116. So Jesus and his disciples most likely sang these psalms hours right before the cross. Okay, so Psalm 116 says, "The cords of death entangled me." Jesus knew he was facing death, right? And I called on the name of the Lord, "Lord, save me." In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus prayed, "Father, if it is possible, take this cup from me." Psalm 116, "I will lift up the cup of salvation." Jesus lifted the Passover cup, declaring a new covenant in his blood. Psalm 116 says, "You have freed me from my chains." Through Jesus' death, he frees us from the chains of sin and death. I will offer, in Psalm 116, it says, "I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving." Jesus became the ultimate sacrifice of thanksgiving. And isn't it incredible how these things fit together? How Jesus himself lives out Psalm 116 for us. So, what does it mean for us? You know, Psalm 116 becomes more than just a psalm of thanksgiving. It's a prophecy of salvation fulfilled in Christ, right? So, God hears our cries. Jesus' prayer in Gethsemane was heard. And through Jesus' obedience, we are saved. God delivers us from death, and the resurrection fulfills that promise. The cup of salvation, Jesus drank the cup for us. Now we lift it in thanksgiving during communion, right? As we remember what Jesus did as we take the cup. So our response is like the psalmist, right? We respond with worship, testimony, and service, right? So how can we respond today with gratitude, Worship and service for the salvation that Jesus accomplished for us, for each one of us, right? John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. Whoever believes in him would have eternal life." And that challenge is still out there today for those who don't believe. And so as you reflect on Psalm 116, how does it inspire you to live a life of thanksgiving and remembrance of what God has done for us? Okay. So to summarize this, originally, this was a psalm of thanksgiving, remembering deliverance. It was part of the Passover halal at the Last Supper. It was sung by Jesus as he prepared to bring ultimate salvation. And for us today, this is a song of gratitude for the salvation that Jesus accomplished. Right, a reminder for us to live in continual thanksgiving and worship. So my challenge for myself and for us this morning is, how do we live that life? A life of thanksgiving, gratitude, but also a life of service to others. And how can I live my life today so that others might see who Jesus is, so we can pass that salvation on, that people, I would say, there's something about you that's different. How do I get that thing? Because we know that thing is Jesus. So thank you for being with us this morning. I hope you learned something like I did as I studied the psalm. And let's just go into a short time of prayer. And thank you for being with us. So Father, we thank you. For who Jesus is. We thank you for the psalmist. Father, we recognize the graciousness, the compassion, the righteousness. And so, Father, we pray for whatever situation that we're in today, that we would know that you hear, that we would know you are God of compassion, of righteousness, and justice. Father, we thank you for the gift of Jesus. For the cup of salvation. Father, as you remember, Father, we pray that we would live lives worthy of what you have done for us, that we would be people who share our stories, people who share our testimony, people who serve you, people who serve others. And Father, we pray as we serve you with our lives that you would use us, that others might see who you are, and that your name would be glorified. Father, we pray this all in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you, everyone, for listening today. And I pray that you will just make a difference today. Have a great day.